All of his stuff looked good, some probably too good because it was probably snug, but he was different in everything that he did. He locked up different. He locked up snug.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back again to the Snug Wrestling Podcast. Hope everyone had a great weekend. I know I did, and we are back again to talk about Monday Night Raw. It feels like we're getting closer and closer to WrestleMania because we are. This Monday Night Raw definitely felt like WrestleMania season. And we're going to talk about the main things that went down on Monday Night Raw, like the steel cage match, the returns. Cody Rhodes was in the building. We heard from the new women's champion, Io Sky, and everything that you must know that went down here on Monday Night Raw. They were in the Madison Square Garden, the home of the WWE, the home base, you know, also the home of legendary steel cage matches. And I think it's safe to say we can add another legendary steel cage match in Madison Square Garden with the CM Punk versus Seth Rollins steel cage match. But before we get into it, fellas, I have Mr. Blood, Toxic Tommy, and BT Knight here with me. I want to get this address first, the Travis Scott update with the WWE. I don't know all the details, but this is what I know, and you guys can add more to this if you guys know more about this than me. But Bully Ray recently shared his thoughts on the slap that Travis Scott gave Cody Rhodes at the Elimination Chamber. Bully Ray wasn't really a big fan of this either. I don't remember verbatim the quote that Bully Ray said, but it was nothing good. It was nothing positive. And then Travis Scott went to Instagram, and I believe he left a comment on one of those videos or one of the quotes by Bully Ray. And Travis Scott put in his comment, "I will slap the shit out of Bully Ray just like I slapped Cody Rhodes." And Bully Ray, of course, is, you know, Bubba Dudley, a legend. You know, he's still a big part of wrestling today, and he's an icon. So I want to hear your thoughts really quick about this comment by Travis Scott. How do you guys feel about this? And what did you guys think? Mr. Blood, let's go with you.
So this is the first time I'm hearing about it, which is surprising because I'm usually really well programmed into the daily wrestling news. It's the first thing I listen to in the morning, last thing I listen to in the evening. As far as Bubba Ray is concerned, look, I love the Busted Open radio channel, their podcast, Dave LaGreca, you know, Mark Henry, Bubba Ray Dudley, Nick Nemeth. It's awesome. I love listening to them. But there's one thing that is very unanimously popular as an opinion about that show, is that Bubba Ray Dudley is way too sanctimonious. I don't know if anybody else on this podcast has ever watched his podcast, but he is known for exercising his experience in professional wrestling as, this is how it should be, this is the correct way to do things because I'm a pro wrestler. And I get that in the business of pro wrestling, it's very egocentric. I find myself agreeing with Bubba Dudley about 40% of the time when he speaks on opinions. This is one of those things where I do actually agree with Bubba Ray Dudley, because even though I'm not familiar with his comments, I'm 100% sure I know what he said because I watch the show every day. And I'm pretty sure something along the lines of, it was unsafe, shouldn't have happened, yada, yada, yada. And if that's what his opinions were, then I would echo those, because my thing is, if you're going to go out there and you're involved in a segment and you can't just stop Travis Scott in the middle of a segment that is that big to coach him on the do's and don'ts of shoot wrestling and kayfabe.
I actually probably should have that quote here really quick, if you don't mind.
Let me hear.
Bully Ray on Travis Scott. Travis Scott deserves to have his jaw shattered and wired shut. It's when the mark in the ring all of a sudden decides that he's a pro wrestler and he knows what the hell he's doing, and that mark is Travis Scott.
Okay, so, yeah, he's calling him a mark, which is, you know, wrestling speak for essentially a guy who buys way too much into himself and what's going on in the ring. and essentially is, you know, smoking his own sage, even though that's not what Travis Scott brings into the ring. But essentially, when it comes down to it, Bubba's comments could go be seen one of two ways. Bubba is works for the WWE again, for LFG. And as far as I'm concerned, this could be him just stirring the pot to kind of help Travis Scott maybe build some heat online now that he's also involved in this angle. Even Cody mentioned him tonight in his promo, talking about that it was John Cena's entourage, or you know, in that group, his associates. And you could either see this as one as you know, Bubba Ray trying to help build the heat around Travis Scott, or two, his honest opinions where he sees a guy who is not a wrestler, who, however, by the way, is being trained as a is being trained in professional wrestling right now. If you don't know that, Travis Scott is currently being trained, so he could be involved at WrestleMania. But I can see where Bubba, as a person who, by all accounts, through his career, has been a very safe worker, sees someone like Travis Scott going overboard in a segment that genuinely injured Cody Rhodes. It burst his eardrum, and it also blacked his eye and gashed his eyelid. It was a very stiff, snug, no pun intended, shoot hit in the face. And you could see that when John Cena was holding his Cody's legs down, John Cena couldn't break character, though. If you go back and you look at John Cena's eyes when he makes that hit, there's a moment in John Cena's eyes where he's like, oh, shit. And because he saw how stiff it was, and The Rock, he's selling, so he can't just be like, hey, whoa, don't do that. That's a little too much. He can't do that because they're in the middle of this heated segment. He's got to let it sell. And Cody could have just been like, yo, what the fuck, Travis, and hit him back. But Cody's got to sell it. And it's not hard to sell a shoot hit. So Travis Scott's response is also something you could see as one of two ways. Someone from WWE probably contacted him and said, hey, feed into it, get some heat on yourself, say something along these lines in a retweet or on this post. Or Travis Scott legitimately was like, yo, what the fuck are you coming after me for? I don't know you. I'm richer than you. I'm more famous than you. Go fuck yourself. I'm doing whatever the fuck I do. I'm friends with The Rock. You can kiss my ass. And I'll slap the shit out of you just like I slapped the shit out of fucking Cody. And he's taking it too seriously. And also, while doing that comment, if it's not in kayfabe, that comment, and it's a shoot comment, he's feeding into what Bubba's saying when Bubba's calling him a mark. Because that's how a mark would respond in that way to what Bubba said. All in all, I don't think he should have hit Cody that way. I think before that segment, they should have told Travis, if you're going to come out with us, and you know, think we're getting physical, yada yada, let's run through it. This is what's going to happen. They either should have told Travis, you either hit him or you don't. And if you do hit him, they should have coached him on the day. This is how you need to hit him. You need to open palm it very gently. You slap here so you don't burst the eardrum. Because in pro wrestling training, we are trained that if we do slaps like that, we are trained where to hit on the face specifically, because you will burst someone's eardrum if you smack them too hard. We are trained to slap properly in pro wrestling. And that was not a trained fucking slap. That was a, where's my money?
Yeah, when it comes to the slap, you know, we've seen it. I've seen it countless times. And yeah, I think we could all agree that that was really unnecessary. But did you also think, last question here, Mr. Blood, before we move on, that comment by Travis Scott, I mean, the way that I saw it was like, the WWE has made me dislike Travis Scott. I'm a huge fan of his music. I've been to his live shows before. He puts on great performances. But then the slap on Cody wasn't good. I wasn't a fan of that. And then this comment on Bully Ray, I'm also not a fan of that, because Bully Ray, he's a legend. He's an icon who deserves respect from everyone. It doesn't matter who the fuck you are, especially if you're coming into his world, the pro wrestling world. I don't care if you're Travis Scott, you shouldn't be disrespecting people like that. This is getting, yes, it's getting him heat, but it's not the right kind of heat. Like,
no, it's one of the things that could wind up generating go away heat. But the thing is that when it comes to this retort from Travis Scott, mm-hmm. like I said, it can be taken one of two ways. It's either a shoot reply because he's heated and feeling attacked in a public forum and he has his own brand to protect, or it's a kayfabe response that WWE said, hey, we're in the age of social media now. We do this in storylines. We build storylines up on social media with replies with comments because they did it all with Drew McIntyre. And they could say, this is what we want you to say, or say this along the lines of this.
Okay.
And so the thing is, because we don't know if those comments were shoot or kayfabe, it's hard to pass too much judgment on Travis Scott because he is playing a heel currently on TV. This is a heel response. And if it isn't a shoot, if it isn't kayfabe, or if it is a shoot, not kayfabe, in all honesty, no disrespect to Bubba Ray Dudley, I reply the same way because you have nothing to do with my segment. You can comment all you want, but if you're going to blast me on a public forum like that, bitch, I'm going to talk shit back to you.
All right.
You know, enough.
Let's move on. Tommy, go ahead.
What I will say is this. This reminds me a little bit of one of the first clips that was revealed for LFG. When one of them had a problem with Bubba when he did not shake his hand.
Mm.
That one clip of that promo. It just reminds me so much of it. Because just like with Travis right now, he feels a little bit disrespected, just like he did. And at this point, I just cannot stop thinking that the situation with Travis is exactly like that.
Mm. All right. BT, do you have any thoughts on this?
Not really, because I don't follow up on all of this stuff that goes on in interviews or fucking like podcasts and things like that. I'm just the guy that watches the show and all of that stuff. But if I was to look at the stuff that Travis was commenting, because I'm just like one of those fucking people that just sees stuff like that and then just immediately thinks, because he's a heel, he's just getting the heel heat. Like, that's just my view on it, but I don't really have a lot of opinions on it. So those are my thoughts.
Right on. Toxic, any thoughts on this thing with Travis Scott and Bully Ray?
I've not really ever been a fan of Travis. No, I've only heard like a couple of his songs. But I do find it disrespectful, even if he's playing the part as a heel, to say that to a legend like Bubba Ray Dudley or Bully Ray or whatever the hell you want to call him. I just feel like if you want to talk shit to someone, talk shit to someone that hasn't been there for a while, like someone that's like, I don't know, Cody or someone else. But if it's a legend talking about you, I feel like you should just zip your fucking mouth.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. All right, you guys, I just wanted to get that out of the way. I want to hear what you guys thought about that. But let's start with the main event. The CM Punk versus Seth Rollins steel cage match. And I am going to say it. I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. Mr. Blood, you were right again. Mr. Blood called this last week when we were talking about what can happen, what can we see come out of this cage match, and he said Roman Reigns. This is a perfect opportunity, Madison Square Garden, steel cage match, Roman Reigns to show up and get his revenge on Seth Rollins. That's exactly what happened after a brutal match between Seth Rollins and CM Punk. What a hell of a roller coaster ride they took us on. And we're going to talk about it, you guys, because I'm going to be honest. There was a lot of great things that I liked about this. There was a lot of things that I didn't like about it. For one, the number of false finishes and finishers. I mean, we're talking about at least three go to sleeps and stomps. They were kicking out of everything. Now, I understand the reasoning behind that. And also, they could have ended this match like... There was a multiple times where they just opened up the door and they could have just walked out. Again, I understand why they didn't. They were trying to say, you know, we've been waiting for a long time to get our hands on each other. We want to beat each other up. This is not about winning the match. But also, on the other hand, it kind of is about winning the match, because that's the whole point of this. If you're watching this for the first time, you're probably wondering, why don't they just go for the win? Why don't they just go for the pin? Why don't they just walk out, be the winner, and that's it? But that's not really how things went down. It wasn't until Roman Reigns showed up and actually dragged Seth Rollins out of the cage. In a way, Roman Reigns helped Seth Rollins win this match. And also, at the same time, Roman Reigns caused CM Punk the match. So now CM Punk has a reason to go after Roman Reigns. And it looks like we're getting this whole three-way situation. It's all coming together. Paul Heyman was also thrown in the mix in there, seeing kind of help out, you know, his old friend CM Punk. Roman Reigns wasn't happy about that. Roman Reigns took out Seth Rollins and CM Punk tonight at Madison Square Garden. All right, Mr. Blood, let's go with you first. I guess my question to you is, what did you think about the match? Did you feel like me, like there was too many false finishes? Or did you think this match was just perfect from top to bottom?
Well, first things first. when you said he grabbed Seth out of the ring. That's a nice way of putting that. He snatched that boy's ass out of that ring like he was a kid getting in trouble at a store trying to take a toy with him. Fucking Roman snatched that boy out of there like he was trying to whoop his ass in public for stealing, bro. He snatched him like a mom. That was the old "I'm a father of five" snatch. But literally, as far as the match is concerned, I thought it was excellent. And here's the funny thing. I genuinely forgot that this match was tonight until the show started, because I was so excited for it last week. And for some reason, I blanked on it until the opener when they announced the advertised main event. And I got excited. This match, I thought, was fucking excellent. I thought it was awesome. I loved Punk getting worked over. I loved the aggression of it. Punk's back getting bruised up almost immediately from the start of the match. His lip was bleeding. It just right out the gate, the first like 6 minutes is just, you see Seth is like, I finally have you where I want you. You can't, there's nowhere else that you can go. It's in here or not at all. And when he opened the cage door and he's like, come on. He's like, why don't you walk out, give up and quit and prove to everybody that I'm right about you. That you pack it up and you take your ball and you go home when things are too tough. And Punk was just flipped him off, gave him the bird, closed the door, and they went back at it. And so Punk did the same thing later on in the match, opened that door and said, you want to come out? You want to get out now? You want to leave? Because as far as I'm concerned, you want this with me. I'm trying to be done with you. And he flipped him off. I thought it was great. The way that they were even stealing finishers, I thought was awesome. GTS into a curb stomp by fucking Seth Rollins. I thought Punk stealing the stealing the stomp was also awesome. Punk tried to go for a super stomp, which I believe he nicknamed the super stomp the blackout. The superplex from the top of the cage. I mean, the match had so much going for it. I mean, it wasn't exactly a technical classic by any means. This was really just, I'm going to destroy you as much as possible, and you're going to destroy me as much as possible, and neither of us is taking the easy way out of this match, which makes it even more interesting, the fact that Rollins won the match by getting dragged out of the ring. So now Punk can claim, you didn't beat me. Your boy Roman helped you beat me. And then Seth's going to go, he's not my boy. He's not my friend anymore. And that's going to lead to the triple threat. And what I thought was awesome about the match was, though, and here's the thing, I do agree with you that there were, in my opinion, maybe two false finishes too many. because the match, because when I looked at my phone, it was like 10:21 or 10:22. We'd already had like three false finishes, I think, by that point. And by the time the match ended, we had like another three. I thought Seth won off the fucking GTS and the curb stomp. I thought it was over. And when Punk kicked out, I was like, the fuck? Because I thought they were going to give Punk a clean win over Seth, or I thought they were going to give Seth a clean win over Punk for the first time. Because Punk's won their last bout, too. So and if I remember correctly, he eliminated him from the Rumble, right? So I'm sitting here thinking that okay, well, they've let Punk take, you know, 80% of this thing and prove he's more dominant than Seth. Well, they got to give Seth the win, right? And I'm thinking, well, Roman's going to come out after. But no, Punk kicks out, which shocked me. If you ask me, if you got rid of the previous two false finishes before that false finish, that should have been the final false finish of the match. Get rid of the two that came before it and put that one in its place as the singular one great false finish of the match. I think the match would be perfect. But I thought that it was kind of poetry that Seth didn't get to win on his own. I think that is going to play into it, because Seth's entire career, from the Shield to now, he was able to win because he had the Shield. Then he was able to win because he had the Authority. Then he was able to win because he had the Authors of Pain when he was the Monday Night Messiah, right? And then he was able to win because he has his friends in War Games. So, and his whole career is a story of the biggest payoff matches that he's needed to win. He's always had help. Someone's been there to back him up. Hell, he couldn't beat The Rock and Roman, even with Cody. And then on the final night, Cody's only able to beat Roman because of Seth. So then you also have, we get to the Royal Rumble, where the only reason that the fucking Seth lost is because of Punk and his obsession and hatred of Roman. So this is literally just this perfect kind of poetry happening here in so many different facets of Punk seems that he can never get anything done without a team or backup or someone there. But when it comes to him finally being able to win the ones he needs to win, he screws himself through his own insecurity and obsession with his own rage at the people he's fighting. I.e. Drew McIntyre, i.e. CM Punk, i.e. Roman Reigns, i.e. Bronson Reed. Just a few examples in the last 2 years. Every time he takes his eye off the ball when he's the one who could win because there's someone else there that he can't stop focusing on. And this is the one time where he was going to win because he wasn't focused on anybody else but the man in the ring. He just stomped through the mat. And then the guy he's obsessed with and focused on yanks him out of the fucking match. And he only wins because the guy he stabbed in the fucking back 11 years ago helped him win. The same guy he stabbed in the back a year ago to help Cody win. It's fucking perfect. So minus those two false finishes and just give us the GTS into the curb stomp as a finish or a false finish, then the match is perfect. But I agree, it's two false finishes, 2 minutes.
All right, Toxic.
You know, I found the Roman Reigns helping Seth Rollins part interesting because in multiple interviews with Seth Rollins, he says, I do not It's something along the lines of, I don't hate Roman Reigns. Or, I don't like Roman Reigns. I hate Roman Reigns. Or, I like... Whatever, you get my point. So, there's still that love-hate relationship between them, even though we don't see them a lot, but we're seeing them now, which will lead up into the what we think is the triple threat at WrestleMania. And, I loved this match. Seth Rollins dressing up like SpongeBob from the second movie. and CM Punk just being Punk. Loved this match.
Right on. Tommy and then BT.
Okay. So, for the people that don't understand why this match is a big deal, these two have hated each other for the past 10 years plus. They, at least a little bit before Punk dropped out. Like, these two have despised each other for a long, long time. But with this match, I was expecting a little bit of color because of how much these two hate each other. Didn't get that, sadly. But it still worked out. Because even when given the opportunity to, they both said, fuck you, I'm not leaving until you are gone. These two were that into it. And with Roman coming out, what Blood said is that made sense. Because now Punk can say, you didn't beat me properly. All this time, you've never been able to beat me properly. You've always had somebody helping you. And this will inevitably, let's be honest here, lead to one of what's probably going to end up being two triple threats at WrestleMania. But, and when it does, it's going to be a great match. But it's very clear that Roman still holds everything against Rollins. It took half of the damn security at least to stop Roman from doing exactly what Rollins did to him at the Rumble. When he stomped him into the steel chair. Not steel chair. Blah, blah. English. Brand. When he stomped him into the steel stairs. But still, these three, just like when it comes to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, these three will fight forever. Let's be honest here. These three are absolutely just destined to constantly go head to head.
Yeah, there was no, you're right about the no color thing, and I was kind of surprised by that, but there was a really, they kept it PG. I mean, when CM Punk and Seth Rollins were flipping each other off, the screens would go black, you know, they were getting muted all the time, and I'm like, man, like, this is Netflix. All the fucking nudity that's on Netflix, but they want to edit out, like, the middle fingers and, like, the little curse words and things like that, but yeah, I thought that was interesting. BT Knight, what did you think about this this match?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, time for my thoughts on CM Punk versus Twilight Sparkle as a transgender. Let's get into this bullshit, shall we? Now, motherfucking, this match was awesome. Loved every single second of it. Loved how the finish went. the security pissed me off, though, because I wanted to see that curb stomp on Seth so fucking badly. I mean, we did get that, like, on the floor, but I wanted to see it on the steel steps. So I kind of got pissed off. But the best part was seeing Paul Heyman caring for CM Punk in the ring. And you could see the look on Roman, like, Oh, really, motherfucker? You care about him more than me? His egotistical side is coming back. It's snapping in. The way he's like, this motherfucker. Nah, none of my ring, bitch. And the way he just comes in and just destroys him while Paul is just laying in the corner. He's like, okay, I respect you, my tribal chief. I respect you, my tribal chief. He's desperate at this point. But overall, I enjoyed the match. I loved every single second of it. So those are my thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm just getting picky when I say, you know, too many of this or why didn't they do that. But overall, it was awesome. Like the match itself, but also we got to see Roman Reigns come back. We got to see Paul Heyman. We got to see Paul Heyman helping out CM Punk. And, you know, there's history there. So there's a lot of stuff happening here. It builds interest as to like, oh, what's going to happen next? You know, we think it's going to be a three-way, but just really quick, Mr. Blood, let's finish up this segment. Go ahead.
I meant to say this, but here's the reason why the false finishes worked here and why they wouldn't work in AEW. It comes back to something that The Undertaker has said on his podcast, 6 Feet Under, many times. If you're going to do it, these kinds of false finishes, because we're in the day and age where no finisher is really protected anymore, to where it would have been a one and done, like the leg drop from Hogan. You got hit with that, it was over. You got hit with the tombstone, it was over. Almost no one ever kicked out of those, except for a handful of very select people. But the reason it works in WWE is because they still sell when they do those false finishes, and they sell and they stay down and they sell and they roll over and their eyes roll in the back of their heads and they're dazed and they're like, what the hell just happened? In AEW, when they do these crazy false finishes, they'll get hit with the craziest move you've ever seen in your life because they're still incredible athletes, but they will pop back up and hit you with their own finisher as a counter, and they'll both go down and then get back up and stand there for the ovation. That's why these false finishes make more sense when WWE does it, because their mentality in WWE is to still sell the effect of those false finishes. The energy it took to kick out. The commentary puts over. God, he must have put everything left in the tank to get his arm up. Oh, my God.
I don't know, but Mr. Wood. I saw Seth Rollins take multiple GTS and a stomp, and he got back up in like 30 seconds.
No, he was down for a hot minute. He was rolling around, cradling his face, rolling his eyes back, trying to figure out where Punk was and get his hand back on his leg to stop him from trying to get out of the ring. They sell it. In AEW, you'll get hit with a fucking spear, a BTE trigger, and you'll pop back up and just hit a crazy fucking move. And then you'll be like, yeah, standing ovation.
I think the difference here is when they do it in the WWE, they do it in like important matches like these, as opposed to it's sparing to do it in AEW.
Yes.
In
like almost every match. It's sparingly used. But this also makes me think of one last thing, and I'm going to pass it back to you because I didn't comment on it. Heyman consoling Punk when he was whispering to him. I have a strange feeling that Punk's not going to use the favor to make this a triple threat. It's going to be a triple threat without the favor. What if, hear me out here, what if the favor is that whoever wins the triple threat gets to be inserted into the title match on night two?
For which title?
What? I'm going to say Cody's. What if the favor is either winner faces the champion after their match or is inserted into their match? What if the favor is to get Paul Heyman to use his pull to turn this triple threat into a number one contenders match? Because at the end of the day, this is the first time Roman's been in a Mania without a title belt in a long time, or a title even having to be involved in it. So imagine if this favor isn't just to make this a basic triple threat, it's the winner gets inserted into the main event.
Yeah, except they're all on Raw.
Doesn't matter. You know, the winner of the Rumble got to choose who was left over. or sorry, Winner of the Rumble chose their person. Elimination Chamber winner got to choose who was left over. So they could. What if they turn this into a triple threat against Jey Uso or Cody?
Hmm. Yeah, I mean that favor is still out there. We don't know what the favor is going to be.
You got to assume that favor's coming into play at Mania.
I think the favor is not going to be as crazy because I think the match is probably at WrestleMania. It's probably going to be Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins, and maybe the favor would be let's add CM Punk to that match and make it a three-way.
What a waste of the favor, though, in my opinion, because he's already involved in it because Roman's already attacked him, too. He's now a part of it by proxy. Why waste the favor getting me into a feud I'm already in?
Yeah, No, you're right. It would be very, very like kind of lackluster. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just don't see Jey Uso sharing his moment, his spotlight that he deserves with the third person.
I agree. I don't think they should take the moment from Jey. I think it should be inserting them into Cody, personally. I don't think if they do that, I'd say let Jey have his night in the sun.
Yeah, well, see, that's why this match was so great because we're all interested in what the possibilities are. You know, what's going to happen next? What's the big favor? You know, Paul Heyman falling all of this? And it's WrestleMania season, y'all, and I'm pumped.
It's crazy to think that this is what WWE is today. And if you were to backtrack 3 years ago, you never would have seen any of these matchups, these combinations, anywhere near the realm of possibility outside of fantasy booking. It's insanely, insanely good TV right now.
All right, what's up, Tommy?
So, yeah, I honestly completely agree with Blood with the question of why would you waste the favor making it a triple threat with Punk and Roman when your entire mission since you debuted was to main event WrestleMania and you have yet to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I just don't see like the main event, Cody Rhodes versus John Cena, that's big enough. Like, I think if you throw CM Punk in either of the title matches, as much as I would love to see CM Punk main event WrestleMania for a championship, I don't want to see him
make sense.
In this WrestleMania.
Punk would make sense, though, in the Cody John, because John took advantage in the Elimination Chamber on Punk, and Cody was already warned by CM Punk that it's me who's coming for you, but I'm going to get you in the front, not in the back.
But how did Paul Heyman get him in the title picture?
Paul Heyman's because of Paul Heyman's pull. Paul Heyman's the last pull. Paul Heyman's not only a road agent, he's a producer, and he's a talent advisor. He has pull in WWE. That's canon even on TV.
But not on screen. We don't know that.
That's been mentioned on screen before. He has pull to do that. Because Roman is the tribal chief, because the high chief is the director of the board, and there's a direct link between Paul and the Anoa'i family. All he has to do is make one call. So it's very possible.
With The Rock, even from last year, building up to last year's Mania, one of the big things was him going, call Roman Reigns, call The Rock, so he can immediately call The Rock as one of his clients, essentially.
The Anoa'i family are all clients of Paul Heyman in WWE canon. The whole family, the Anoa'i Mayavia dynasty, those are his clients in canon.
Well, damn, I think you guys are onto something. I think it'll be crazy to see. That actually does make a little sense now that I think about it.
It'll be cool, but I digress.
All right. Tommy earlier mentioned that there's a possibility that we might see two triple threat matches, one being possibly Roman Reigns versus Punk versus Seth Rollins. The second match could possibly be Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. We heard a little bit from Io Sky, the new women's champion, tonight after she, out of everyone's surprise, defeated Rhea Ripley last week. And she's going to WrestleMania. She had an in-ring interview with Michael Cole. And then they called out the challenger, Bianca Belair. We had the champion and the challenger for WrestleMania. But here comes a pissed off Rhea Ripley interrupting the segment and letting it be known, hey, why did you do what you did last week? You interfered in the match. And were you doing it to help out Io Sky? Were you doing it because you didn't want to face me one-on-one? Bianca claims she's innocent in all this, but the thing that they did here that it's really important to note is that you have Rhea Ripley, you have Bianca face-to-face, and Io Sky is just in the middle. She's kind of just there. And I think after the way that things went down last week, everyone was saying, "What? Why?" The match for Mania was supposed to be Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair, not Io Sky. And WWE is kind of addressing those comments or those reports, you know, the people that were upset about Io Sky going into WrestleMania. Io Sky is demanding respect, and she kind of did that tonight by stepping in the middle of Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley and slapping them both across the face and basically telling not just them two, but everyone at home and in the arena, don't forget about me. I'm the champion. Put some respect on my name. What did you guys think about this? BT, let's start with you first.